What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, number 132, leading the way in the secondary setting. And this week, my guest is David Young, athletic trainer at DeSoto High School. David, I want to thank you for bailing me out this week as we had a last-minute change, but I think we're going to pull together a pretty good show. So I am your host, Jeremy Jackson, sitting right beside me. Supposed to be Jose over here working the show notes. But we got Jess working Twitter and working some of the chat, as well as Shakira over there. She's working the chat as well. Gabby is taking notes. She's on Skype. Leslie is taking notes. Della's switching cameras. And sitting right here asking some of the questions is
Matthew.
You can check out our conversation, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. Again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. Jess will be searching hashtag TheSMB, so you can ask your questions there on Twitter or, again, in the chat feature if you're watching live, if you're logged in. So Ustream social feature. Adela should be able to see that there and hopefully ask any of your questions or your comments. And again, our website, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com, will have links to all of those. Without much further ado, Matthew.
Mr. Young, can you please tell us about yourself?
Yes, Matt. First of all, thank y'all for having me on. My name is David Young. I'm the athletic trainer, or one of four athletic trainers here at DeSoto High School. This is my 11th year in the profession, but it's my fifth year over at DeSoto. So just rocking and rolling. We've got our area track meet going on right now and getting ready for the state track meet. Baseball and softball about to finish up, and spring football about to start next week. So just trying to finish out the year on a strong note, get it going.
All right, Matthew, we have one more softball game. Well, so yeah, we got softball finishing this week to Friday, and then we have baseball finishing next week. So neither of our baseball softball teams are making playoffs. So
no, right, neither of ours.
We're right there with you. So.
Yeah. Bypassing all of that and moving straight into spring football. So next Tuesday for us.
All right, so we talked to David back in episode 126, where we were actually supposed to talk about this leading the way in the secondary setting, but it kind of changed it to a concussion protocol and the MTBI brain research. And so we're kind of following up with that conversation that we were supposed to have, because in one of the comments after this conversation, somebody said, well, you know, it's not the topic that was listed, but, you know, it turned out to be a good conversation anyways. And so I just wanted to, for that person that made that comment, I want to kind of follow up with this episode and give David another chance. And again, thank you for bailing me out. So so we were talking briefly before we came on the air, but why don't you tell me some of the ways that you guys are leading the way there at DeSoto?
Well, a few. We are one of, I believe, four, maybe five high schools in the state to have four staff athletic trainers at our high school. We also have a student program of about 34 kids. Next year, we're going to have somewhere between 10 and 12 freshmen, so that'll put us over 40 for the first time ever. So looking forward to that. We also are got approved to have a brain performance lab, brain injury lab type of deal. So we're trying to figure out where we're going to put that, but also the name of it. So we're trying to decide between brain performance lab and brain injury lab. So that's going to house some of our research equipment that's been provided by UT Southwestern and UTD. That was actually approved about a week ago from our principal. So he kind of showed me the high school, showed me some rooms that he had available. I was actually looking at an old field house weight room that we were trying to turn into the lab, but got some pushback from that, from the other sports. So we wanted to try and find another way of getting it done, and our principals come through big time, and I think we're going to use an old choir room, and our booster club president is actually, owns his own construction company, and our vice president is an architect, so one is going to draw it up and the other is going to kind of donate the time and labor, and UT Southwestern wrote up a grant, and we're through Dr. Rob Reniker, we're actually going to have pretty nice lab at no cost to the school and school district. So I'm really, really excited about that.
All right, so talk to me a little bit more about the brain-based, the brain lab, the brain performance lab, the project to be named.
Yes, the project to be named. So what happens is our football team we were playing, I believe it was Capel in the first round of the playoffs. And they have their headband on with the sensor that kind of detects how much force is being put on the head and neck. And a funny story was that Capel really didn't know what was going on. They thought we had an actual radio type sensor that our quarterbacks were having. And the referees had to come in, and I kind of had to give them the rundown of, you know, the research study that Dr. Reniker and Dr. Jacob Resch were doing. We have that to where they're we're able to track and keep up with how much trauma is actually coming into the, how much force is coming into on the head and on the neck. We also have these binocular looking device that tests the pupil reaction. And then we also, the cognitive, we do our cognitive testing through concussion vital signs. And then we do our balance testing with our Vertec foot plate. So right now, baseline wise, we're doing the cognitive as well as the balance aspect. But hopefully, after some of this research, we'll be able to implement. I would like to try and implement either a Doppler, a transcranial Doppler system, just to kind of see how much arterial blood is flowing up to the brain, or being able to use one of the binoculars, or our NeuroTrack to see how much blunt force trauma we're getting during a football game. So we're trying to implement three of those research studies. Right now it's just on a research basis, but right now we're just doing the cognitive as well as the balance. So
all right, so and then with that project being approved, you were also telling me that in about 2 years you're going to have another athletic trainer, a fifth athletic trainer.
Right. We're looking at trying to write up a proposal to our school board, the principal, the AD, get all that stuff out of the way, and get approved to house a fifth athletic trainer that would strictly be over the brain injury lab and help out with our middle school coverage. Right now, we're just able to cover middle school football during the year, and then we have an actual period where one of my staff will go to each one of the middle schools to talk to the coaches, talk to the parents and the athletes about an injury that they might have suffered on a Tuesday, Wednesday after a game. So we'll come up there around 9 o'clock in the morning and do treatments for our middle school kids. But what I would like to have is any home event that's on DISD campus, we would have covered. And I think by having a fifth, that would really, really help in doing that.
Yeah, that would really change the middle school sports because, I mean, they don't have anybody taking care of them, but then also they don't understand that there is somebody that could take care of them. Because, you know, we talk about, yeah, you know, if you got one of your middle school kids hurt, they can come up and see their high school, but they don't because they don't know about us. They don't know what we do, and it's easier to go to the doctor.
Right. And that gets frustrating because when they become freshmen, a lot of times what happens is for a typical ankle sprain or a hamstring or pretty much anything, the parent takes it upon themselves because they've been doing it for 2 years to just bring them up to the physician. And, you know, they might hold them out. Typically, a doctor's going to say, you know, a week to 2 weeks out, no practice, no activity whatsoever. And then, you know, obviously, if you're not doing anything, you're going to, you know, feel better. And so then what happens is, you know, they're out of shape. They're not getting any cardio. They're not doing any strengthening. They're not working on any range of motion or anything like that. And somebody's taking their spot. And then the parent comes in and they want to know why, you know, we didn't clear them as soon as we got the doctor's note. And we kind of have to explain, ma'am, or explain to the father, you know, the way it's supposed to go. You know, they'll come in, see us, come in for treatment. We have a parent as well as a coach's note that we send home with the athlete, to where it kind of explains what we think is going on, what measures you should do at home, and what measures we're going to do up at the school. So it takes about, usually it takes about a season to get the freshmen, not necessarily the freshmen, but their parents on board and to understand exactly what's going on with this athletic training thing. So by having an athletic trainer down there specifically for the middle schools, I think that'll help with the education of knowing what we do and promoting the profession, and just showing the middle school kids, hey, athletics is athletics, and you guys are important as well.
I gotcha.
Mr. Young, can you tell us about the INTAT student workshop?
Yes, sir, I can. So we just had a symposium. The North Texas Athletic Training Society put on a symposium, very good lecture. And it's split up between professionals as well as the kids also get different types of lectures. So they put that on. And the kids are able to network, really, and kind of talk with each other. And I'm a big student athletic training program guy. You know, other guys, it might be rehab. Other guys, it's the games and taping and other. But I really like trying to mentor and promote the profession with the young people. So what we do. Team or schools from around the North Texas area, I think they had, oh gosh, probably somewhere between 40 and 45 schools there. They come up, you know, they actually had a hip dissection this year. Last year, I believe it was a knee dissection. They have a Team Jeopardy type quiz bowl. You know, and then they're able to just kind of talk and like I said, network and, you know, what they like about their program, what they don't like about, you know, the program, and maybe get some ideas from other schools and everything. So it's a really good experience for them. For us, there's a professional series where we kind of learn some rehab techniques. They go over different types of special tests, some other type of evaluations that we can use and try and implement into the training room. They have vendors for the professionals, and then they actually have a hallway that's nothing but colleges and junior colleges. To some are accredited, some aren't. But just to kind of show the kids, hey, there are people out there. If you take care of your business and when it comes to your grades and everything, and if you want to be a part of this after you graduate high school, there are places you can go. And, you know, if they're not accredited, you can actually do it as a student, you know, work study type program, which will help, you know, pay bills, books, whatever. But then from an accredited standpoint, if you're looking at going into a profession, into athletic training as a profession, you can talk to them as well. So it's put on really well. There's also a competition at the end of the day that we take pretty seriously. And, you know, the kids worked really hard and actually won it for the fourth consecutive year this past April. So very proud of them. They practiced on their own, and basically I'm to the point where if they want to practice on their own and they're taking this in and this is something that they want to have for themselves, I'll go ahead and order some practice tape and pre-wrap or whatever it takes for them to be able to put themselves in the best situation to be successful. And we've done that for the past 4 years.
All right, so talk about that competition there, because you said there was a quiz bowl type thing, and then you said there was another competition, and that's the Student Trainer Olympics. Do those two things go together, the quiz bowl and the Olympics, or are they separate completely?
They're a separate entity right now. Personally, I would like for them to become one competition, you know, to where you'd have the practical, sorry, my lights went out. Hold on.
So if you're watching the video, this is awesome.
Sorry.
He's got automatic lights that I guess when you're not moving, they turn off. And so
they turn off.
He's jumping up and down trying to turn the lights back on. So, all right, go ahead, dude.
So what I would like to try and have is the practical as well as some of the written. So have the Jeopardy as well as have the Olympics tied into one competition and go from there. I know that somewhere in California, I know that they have like a quiz bowl competition. I've seen that on YouTube, as well as there's a West Texas quiz bowl that you can sign up for. Mm-hmm. But we haven't taken part in that yet. But yeah, I would like to see those two merge together. But for right now, the practical side is getting very competitive. When we first started, my first year was in 2010, and I believe we were at Rockwall Heath High School, which is another local high school up here in North Texas. But I think we came in third or something like that. And I think there was only one heat. There was basically six schools, and whoever won that, they were the winner. And they got the traveling trophy, whatever. Now, this past year, there were 20 schools competing. So it's grown. They had a little infomercial on YouTube announcing the heats. And our kids just really are able to, this is theirs. This is something that they're in control of. And that's what I really like. I think too many times our kids are, you know, they work very hard, but they have to live vicariously behind another sport, you know, and no matter how well they're doing, they might not get the needed and deserved love, quote unquote, so to speak, in maybe getting a trophy or some type of accolade like that. So we've kind of, I'm here in no man's land right now. I talked to my athletic director with us four-peating. They asked me, Doc Young, well, you know, if we four-peat and if we win, can we do like a championship ring or whatever? And at first I was just like, what? You know, and so they just started talking amongst each other and they were like, you know, Alan four-peated in, you know, football or three-peated. They three-peated. You know, and they just started naming off all these different sports. And so then I started thinking, I was like, well, yeah, well, okay, that's fine. If we win, I'll look at trying to design a championship ring for you guys. I've never done that before, obviously. I'm an athletic trainer. So they wound up winning, and I called Johnston's, and they sent out Mr. Mike Humphrey, who's actually a DeSoto grad, and he came into my office and he kind of had this look on his face like, you know, we can design a ring and everything, but we've just never done this for athletic trainers before. So he's coming back actually today after school, and the kids are going to get sized up. They're going to pay their deposit and we're going to have a championship ring. So very, very proud and excited for them. Because like I said, this is something that's theirs. They don't have to live through football, basketball, baseball, any of these other sports that are successful. And those kids are successful, but our kids work hard and are successful as well, and so they're getting rewarded for that. So.
So how many kids do you have involved in the Olympics?
There's four different, it's kind of like a relay type deal. I'm looking on my sign account. So it's kind of like a relay. So there's a speed taping and then you have a model. So that person will, once they finish, they'll run and touch the next person who will then do, this year was a fractured forearm. So they had to ace wrap and splint with a SAM splint the arm. And then that person went and ran and touched the next person who then was supposed to do a wrist tape job for hyperextension. But then it turned into just a basic, you know, around the wrist, three strips around the wrist. I don't know what happened with that, but, you know, we were able to adjust to the situation because I thought it was going to be a fan. You know, you'd have to fan it out, put the fan on, do the bracelet, and then cover it up. But it wasn't that way. That's the way we had been practicing, but then it changed. So I was very proud of that. So that they were able to change right along with everybody else. And then you have a cooler run that two people do. So you have five people participating and then three models. So it's a pretty big deal.
Gotcha. And so do all of your kids get a ring, or is it just the ones that were actually part of the team?
No. What we're going to do is everybody's going to get a ring because for two things. I mean, everybody practice and we kind of have a tryouts. We kind of have tryouts starting in late February, early May. So, you know, they're a part and they're pushing the other students, you know, throughout that process. So no, everybody's going to get a ring. And then, you know, we're just going to go from there and, we're actually getting, I'd show you the trophy, but it's getting engraved again. So, I don't have that right now. So, but no, everybody, that's in the program that wants to get a ring will be able to get either a ring, a girl's sized ring or the pendant, the necklace pendant type deal.
Gotcha. All right. So then talk a little bit more about the quiz bowl. How'd you guys do in that?
That I do not know. They said that we did well. I was actually in a lecture for myself. So I really don't know how well they actually did. But we also had a video competition that we won. And then we had a functional, and I call it the pretty tape job competition. And one of our sophomores actually got third out of about 25 kids. So there's different competitions within the main one at the end with the Olympics. So we were able to put on, a video and shoot a video with the help of one of our, our offensive line coach came in and did a lot of the editing, but our freshmen really took that upon themselves to pick a song, write lyrics that promoted athletic training and kind of what we do as a profession, and then put it together, and we submitted that on YouTube and wound up winning that competition as well. So that was huge for us.
You have to send me a link to that, and then we can put it there in the show notes. I can check it out. So
yes, I forgot to do that. But if you go to on YouTube, if you go to DeSoto Athletic Training, that's the only thing that's on there now. I'm actually going to try and put or figure out a way to put the concussion lecture as well as this talk on our channel, so to speak. I'm just not as technical as you, Jeremy.
Well, everything is a trial and error for me.
So. Yes.
And usually I just keep trying until I either, you know, make something blow up or until it works. But all right, so you're talking about the quiz bowl. One of the things that was mentioned in GHATS was trying to get, like you said, the North Texas has a quiz bowl. I think the Valley Athletic Trainers are trying to do a quiz bowl. West Texas has some sort of quiz bowl. You know, and we may all have different formats. Ours is kind of a Family Feud, Jeopardy type thing. It's They ask a question, right, and then the first person to buzz in, you know, so it's not like they get to pick categories, but it's, there's questions that, you know, they get to answer.
Is it just like Family Feud, or is it kind of just like a buzz-in type deal, Jeopardy deal? Because I would think like the Family Feud type, you know, format would, that would be awesome, because they could actually steal, and if they want, if they knew that category, they could sweep, you know, that category and everything. Like, I don't know, light bulb just went off in my head for Quiz Bowl. For
it's more of a, but they'll have the question, they'll start reading, you know, all right, what is the name for the upper arm? And then you can buzz in at any time. And so if they were going to say the upper arm bone, you know, then you'd have to say humerus. And if, right, and if you don't, like your team buzzes in, gets it wrong, then they'll finish reading the question. And they'll finish reading the question, and then the other team gets a chance to steal. So
no, I think
that's kind of how it goes.
Yeah, that sounds like a great opportunity, and it sounds like a great match type setting. You know, I really hope that one day they're supposed to switch it up next year when it comes to the competition. And so maybe I can, you know, email our president and say, hey, what about doing a Quiz Bowl type deal in the morning time? You know, and then with those results, come back with the Olympics, you know, to where they get both the lecture and as well as the practical side of it as well, just to see on both sides who, you know, who pan out and be the best, you know, get that trophy.
Yeah, so that's the reason I was asking, because, you know, we had made mention of, and actually somebody typed it in the show notes. I'm not sure if it was you. Did you add questions to the show notes?
I did. Okay. About adding it or trying to make it a statewide
and type SWATA. Of
deal at SWATA.
Yeah, because that was brought up here at GHEADS too, you know, because you could have the local competition. You know, you have your competition within your school, get the best team, and then you have the competition at your organization, so like GHEADS or VADA, the Valley, or, you know, the East Texas, North Texas, whatever. And then each of them send their group to SWATA to have a, you know, a area or region, whatever it's called, a competition for the Quiz Bowl. Because I think they have something like that for college students at SWATA or NATA, at NATA, I think.
I think it's NATA, but that's exactly what I was thinking, you know, to be able, and I think that would help promote the profession even more, because sadly, the first time I went to SWATA or any type of convention like that, I was already a professional, you know, that was my first year, you know, and I think it would be good for the kids to see adults out networking, be able to see the vendors and maybe be able to sit on some of those college type lectures, if you will, and listen to what's going on, and that this is a real, you know, profession that, you know, you can make a living off of and go further than just being a high school athletic trainer.
Yeah, I think it'd be really, you know, obviously there's a lot of logistics you'd have to work out, but I think it'd be a really awesome thing to be able to do, because our competition is pretty intense. You know, we got people that are, you know, they have like several different tryouts within their school, and then their school is pre-competing, like Pearland Dawson, they had a, like the week before, they had a competition between those two schools as like a warm-up. I mean, you know, those schools are kind of powerhouses in the thing, and so they're already, you know, it's already building, trying to, we want to win. And so then, then to do that amongst the whole entire state, it just, like you said, it promotes the profession and encourages people to do this, and, you know, encourages parents to be involved. And so.
Yeah, I think that's awesome what they're doing over there. We actually do the same thing. We don't really talk to anybody else when it comes to practicing for the Olympics, but we start practicing, like I said, pretty much, I'm working basketball, so as soon as basketball gets beat in the playoffs, then we start to practice after school. Usually we pick one day a week, and that's usually a Wednesday. We'll go about an hour and a half after school with just practicing taping, practicing the different stations just to see who's going to have the best time, who wants to compete. But then also, since my kids, during the fall, they have a green and a white staff, and we kind of alternate practice days. So I see them pretty regularly. But in the spring, we don't have that. So that also gives me time to talk to them and get them caught up on what's, you know, going on if they're not in our sports medicine class, you know. So that's awesome that they practice. And like I said, we actually, I thought we were the only ones that were kind of practicing, but then I found out this year that there are some other schools that are kind of, hey, DeSoto would probably already be done by the time you finish taping this ankle. And I mean, it's just grown into something that is pretty competitive. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that, because like I said, this is something where our kids are in control of what they do. Like, if you want to be one of the elite type of athletic training programs, you know, you're going to need to practice a little bit and make sure that you work on your craft. And so our kids have owned up to that. And there's some other schools, there's around the area that they have just a dynamic program. South Grand Prairie, Prosper up here, Lovejoy. I mean, those kids, you can just tell, you know, and I could tell by just watching them in their different heats, the kids that maybe started practicing the week before and the schools that have, may have been practicing a month or 2 months for it, you know. So and like I said, I don't think that there's anything wrong with that, because those, our kids are able to own up and have something, like I said, that's theirs, that they don't have to live behind somebody else to feel like they've achieved something.
So with that, you guys get a like an email or something that says, all right, so this year the events are taping an ankle, taping a wrist, splinting a fractured forearm, and carrying a cooler. Is that, do y'all know before, or you have to practice for an array of things and then?
Well, this year it kind of changed. It changed a little bit. In years past, it's been the ankle taping, and then they give the specified way that they want the ankle taped, you know, so it's apples to apples, because, you know, DeSoto doesn't tape the same way that Cedar Hills kids might tape or what have you. Mm-hmm. So they have that specified, but then in years past, it's been the vacuum splint, and it would either be a leg or an arm, and you'd have to connect it and put the pump on, do 15 pumps, count them out loud, 15 pumps, disconnect the hose, and then go to the next station, which was a thigh ACE wrap. But they switched those two to the wrist for hyperextension that really wasn't hyperextension, and the forearm, splinting a forearm. So those two changed, but, you know, we knew that the forearm was going to be on there. And we knew we were gonna have to tape for hyperextension, but somebody wound up having to email Intacs and tell them, so are we doing hyperextension for a wrist, hyperextension for an elbow, hyperextension for a knee? And I just guessed and assumed, with, you know, cost and tape and everything else, that it would be a hyperextension for a wrist. But the biggest thing, if it gets bigger, it's just to make sure and kind of think about schools that, you know, they take this pretty seriously. You know, I mean, it's gotten to the point now where I have to talk to my kids about if we were to lose, you know, and I don't ever expect to win. You know, I hope that we win, you know, and I think with them practicing, they put themselves in a great position to win, but it's literally become, you know, now if we don't win, you know, this is not the end of the world. You know, we still will have practice. You're still going to be part of the program, and you know, but some of these kids, I think if we did lose, they would cry, especially some of the seniors that have never lost, you know, I think they would cry. And being a part and seeing the practice, and this is kind of, even though I don't have any more hair, it kind of gives me a chance to let my hair down. because, sorry.
There go the lights again. He's doing his dance. You'll definitely have to watch the YouTube video later and see see what that is there.
So it kind of gives me a chance to let my hair down and just kind of play with them because I'm so, I don't want to say anal, but I'm so just particular about how we do and the standard that we set, you know, and making sure that we keep that standard that, you know, once we start this, once we start this practice, you know, we have the kids cheering around because we want to try and make it and simulate the crowd noise, if you will. And mm-hmm. I'm up there jumping up and down and I'm timing and I've got another one of my kids timing. And it's just really, really fun. I mean, this is something after school we really don't have to worry about. Making sure something's covered. Is this field? Do we have an AED over here? You know, this is something that's just for us, and it kind of helps build that family atmosphere that I like to have in our program. So, you know, I know that if we start off, maybe start off with a statewide type of competition, you know, we're going to have to be proactive in knowing exactly what we want, having it in detail filled out so everybody's apples to apples and not assuming anything. So, but I think that would be just awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And it would be really fun to see, you know, and it just increases the competition. And we actually had a group from Muleshoe, like you were talking about West Texas.
Muleshoe. Uh-huh.
Yeah. They actually came down to GHATS this year and were part of the Quiz Bowl and that kind of thing. And so it's really cool to be able to incorporate people from so many different areas into the workshops. And, you know, it would be really cool because I'm actually leaving tomorrow to go take kids camping on a field trip. So we're taking some of our student athletic trainers on a field trip. So just taking them somewhere beyond the building is just awesome. And then if it's something that they've worked for and earned, like, you know, they earned the chance to represent your school at the local convention and then then they go to SWATA and then possibly go to NETA. That's really, it'd be really cool.
I think we're right on the same page when it comes to building this thing. We're actually, I sent our video out to all these different Division I colleges, because I started getting into the YouTube craze and I wanted to get our views up. And because I'm not very tech savvy. And for like the first week, we were averaging somewhere between, it was something I thought it was ridiculous. I mean, it wasn't like Rihanna or anything like that, but I mean, it was like 80 something views a day, you know? And so we're like already over 1,000 views. And I never thought it would get over 100, you know? Yeah. I thought the people that needed to see it would see it, but I actually had I worked a softball game a week ago, and the mayor of DeSoto actually came up and said, "Aren't you the athletic trainer? And your kids just did a great job with that video." And so it's pretty much gotten all the way around, definitely the high school, but it's gotten around the district and the city. So it's just unbelievable. And I think if you implement and bring in the whole state to where other kids are viewing, hey, what's DeSoto doing? What's Pasadena doing? You know, what's Corpus Christi, Cal Allen doing? Mm-hmm. You know, all these different kids. I mean, I think it would show them, hey, you can be, if you want to be a part of sport, you can be a part of sports. If you want to be a part and be in the medical profession and be a part of sports, you can do that as well. You know, and the sky's the limit. It's kind of like with this broadcast, you know, I think the sky would be the limit with just promoting what it is we do, you know, on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, last night I went to a meeting. I did a mass CPR training where we actually teach hands-on CPR, hands-only CPR from American Heart Association, CPR in schools. So we teach them, we let them do the compressions, we have them watch the video, do the compressions, they place an AED on the mannequins, they learn conscious choking, they talk to like EMS and what to do when you call 911, and we actually had Lifelight come, but they got a call as they were approaching to land. And so that was the second year in a row we did that. So I was speaking at this meeting last night just to say, hey, this is what we're doing. And it just so happens that one of our board members was there at that meeting. And she was like, hey, I really like what you're doing. I actually lost a daughter to the choking game, several years ago. And so I'd love to come speak. Well, now, just because I spent 5 minutes at that meeting talking about something that we were already doing, now I have the school board on my side, because now
right.
the school board members is interested and invested in what we're doing. So like you're saying, it's not quite the mayor, you know, yet, but
no, but the school board has a lot of pull though.
Yeah. And so, just being available and putting stuff out there. And so that was really cool. And I was pretty excited about that when I told my wife last night, and she actually knew the story of that lady's daughter. So it's really cool. I'm excited to next year incorporate that in there into part of our program. But so
yeah, that's awesome. That's really awesome. So with everything that's been going on, we kind of have had a honeymoon type situation between the athletic department and the athletic trainer so one of our kids, and he's a freshman, he's a really rah-rah, go DeSoto type of kid, which there's nothing wrong with that, you know, loves the sports side of it. And he asked me, this was, I don't know, probably 2 weeks ago. We had just finished the competition or whatever. And he goes, do you think we can get our logo put on the football field? And it was right after I said yes to the rings. So I said, well, I'm supposed to go and talk to the superintendent, so we'll see how it goes, you know. And he's like, so you're going to ask him? And I said, yeah, I'll ask him. And I said, I mean, the word, I have the position, the worst somebody can, you know, the worst thing somebody can say is no.
Exactly. You
know? So I talked to Dr. Harris we had probably about a 15, 20 minute conversation, very busy guy, you know, and I didn't want to take up too much of his time. And at the end of everything, you know, he was saying that, you know, how happy he was, how proud, blah, 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 blah. And I said, Dr. Harris, there's one other thing I wanted to ask, and I'll see if it was okay if we put our logo on the football field on each opposite diagonal 25s, you know, kind of like in college football where they put the conference logo, put our athletic training logo right there. And he kind of gave me this look like, how much is that going to cost? And I said, I don't know, you know, but, you know, we raised that money, you know, I'm not asking for the money. I'm asking for your blessing, if that's okay, you know. And he said, well, how many other schools have their athletic training logo? And I was like, I seriously doubt any, you know, but for the way I kind of talked to my athletic director and my head football coaches, I said, look, I mean, these kids by far and away have, if not the first, the second most time on that field, you know. And they said, yeah, without a doubt. And I said, well, do you think we can get this logo? I said, I don't want it big, I just want it there, you know, that's something that they're able to call theirs, you know. And they said yes. Blew my mind. I thought they were going to say no. So we're actually going to work on getting that painted for the fall. So I think that helps promote our brand, because we're actually going to have a football game on ESPN. And, you know, we're going to have our DeSoto Eagle logo on the 50, obviously. But we're also going to be able to have our athletic training logo on each 25. And I just think that that's unprecedented to where other school districts will see, you know. And it's kind of keeping up with the Joneses. I think that's how it all starts off. It all starts off with somebody just saying yes, or maybe even asking the question. So we're very excited about that.
That's really cool. I mean, we've talked about getting a banner that we can, you know, roll out and put on, stick to the fence and then take back down, but certainly not having our logo. Of course, we have five schools that share one stadium, so it would have to be kind of like of a Pasadena ISD sports medicine logo.
That's right.
And then nearly as exciting as, you know, your own school logo.
Well,
but
I think it has to start from somewhere. I think that would be very exciting if maybe y'all had a secondary district type logo that maybe you put on, you know, the sleeve of your shirt, you know, and you have your own logo here, but then maybe be able to put that over it. Now, how many stadiums do you guys have? Is it still the one?
Yeah, we have one stadium for all five schools.
Okay. So. Okay. And y'all still have Phillips Fieldhouse?
Yes, they're connected. I mean, we have the auxiliary stadium, which has a grass field and turf, but that's they don't ever play varsity games there. That's for the JV games or for track meets, and that's also by the varsity baseball stadium. So all those are more or less connected. But
okay. Yeah, I have special memories at Phillips Fieldhouse. So I'm a old Beaumont Westbrook Bruins, so we would play there many a times. But I think coming up with something and presenting it to them, you know, like I said, the worst they can say is kind of no, you know.
Yeah. I think we may have to get some trophies under our belt before I go and ask that.
Definitely.
All right, so one of the things you asked was secrets to getting boys into your student programs. Do you have guys in your student program?
Yes, sir. We have, I'd have to count. We're sitting somewhere between 7 and 8 males. But yeah, I was just trying to throw something out there because we're always trying to find male student athletic trainers. Not that there's anything against the female student athletic trainers, but in some instances, it's a lot easier to have males dealing with the locker room situation during football or basketball. You know, it gets kind of it's not really a gray area. It's just either we can do that or we can't do that. So I think we're able to provide a lot more to our male athletes if we were able to have, you know, male student trainers. So what we do is we actually recruit the middle schools really, really hard. And so we've come up with a brochure and we'll get the All-A and A-B honor roll. And then we kind of have a flyer and it has some pictures and stuff of what it is we do, and it kind of explains what it is that we do on a daily basis. And we have an application in there. We kind of fold it up in a pamphlet and they get it through the student mail. So it's really cool because, you know, kids usually don't get mail. So they get mail and then they're able to read that. And hopefully we get some males to turn it in. Now, last year we had one guy. And so I was like, this is a problem if this scenario keeps going. And there's a school not too far from here, it's Mansfield High School, and he has like 35 girls. I mean, they're all girls, you know? And I was just like, how do you do that? And he was just like, very carefully. And I was like, I bet.
Yeah.
No, I was just trying to see, was there a different way that y'all do, or is it kind of just the luck of the draw and maybe a kid has a season-ending injury, and then he goes from there?
Well, we have two guys, and that's the first time since I've been here. We had one last year, and then we got a freshman this year, so now we have a freshman and a sophomore. And I think that's part of it is having guys in there, because then they recruit friends, and then, you know, maybe when you go to the middle schools, you take a guy and a girl student, and they're both student athletic trainers. But honestly, I can't say that we're real successful. When I talked to Chris Shattuck, he said one of the things he does is he, in his flyers, you know, he targets guys like sending out the application, and he also targets the males in the flyer. And he said sex sells, so he uses, you know, pictures of girls in sports bras or something like that getting treatment.
I remember that. Yeah. And I remember that episode. Okay.
And so, you know, that's something he does. But for us, it's, I don't know, because we went to the middle schools. We visited all the middle schools. We talked with the counselors. We talked with all the kids. We handed out flyers. And we didn't have a single student fill it out. But there's like a transition where we're going like the way the curriculum's being done. So the students may have been confused because that same week they were also registering for ninth grade. So they may have been, we have like 18 kids registered for sports medicine one, which wow. So they may have thought that registering there with the counselors was filling out the thing for the student athletic trainer application. And so yes. we're still going to figure out, we have to talk to those kids and see, is this what you wanted to do? Is it, you know, or did you want to do this? And then go from there. And again, none of those, actually I think a couple of those were guys, but sometimes that we just get kids dropped in there, even though they don't, right. you know, they're supposed to be in football period, but, oh, hey, sports medicine, it's the same athletic period. It'll work, right?
Yeah.
No, it won't. And so I don't have an answer for recruiting boys. I know we got four people in the chat room or three people in the chat room. Bob, who's in the chat room there? Rob, Robert, and Doc. Well, Doc, he's in the same situation as me because he's just sitting in the other room watching. So Rob, Robert, if you guys have student athletic trainers and you have success in recruiting males, type that in there, and then we can throw that out there. Is there any comments there that should be read? Looks like somebody made a comment. Two guys? Robert has two guys. All right, Robert, so go ahead and type in there, if you can, how you get those or what your plan is to recruit more of those. So most of the guys he tries to recruit are not interested in sports, or they're yeah. So they're either playing sports or they're not interested in sports, which is kind of the deal here, because we have the same kids playing all the sports. So it's not like we have, you know, 5,000 kids where kids play just one sport and then could do athletic training. And so
right.
So he's doing the same thing there. And I think Rob, if that's the same one I'm thinking of, he's in Tennessee. So it looks like it's kind of the same. But, you know, in general, the profession is moving. I think it's, 50 or 60% female. As profession.
Yep. Yep.
And I don't really understand. You know, I understand here with the Hispanic thing, it's kind of a macho thing. And maybe that's the same other places. So, you know, they don't like, oh, I'm not going to serve the football team. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to play sports, or I'm going to play soccer, or whatever it is. It's kind of a, you're not man enough, so you have to go do this. But I'm like, look, there's very few very few of our coaches that have, you know, played at the college level or at the professional level. And I've been a athletic trainer at college, and I've been an athletic trainer at the professional level. I got a scholarship to college, a full scholarship. So it's not that they're better than me just because they played sports. I mean, honestly, I got a full scholarship. I worked with the Texans, you know, so.
Yeah, and I think that's something that we fight sometimes. I think it just depends on year to year of what type of boys that we have in there when it comes to the whole macho thing. But I really try and give our kids some sort of type of swag, if you will, to where they're a part of something, you know. And I think every kid is looking to be a part of something, you know. And here, if most of the time what happens with the boys is everybody's going to go out for football. Well, then you're not playing football, so then I'm going to go try basketball. Well, then you get cut from basketball, and so now I'm going to go and try to play baseball. And now if you don't make our baseball team, then, you know, you need to go ahead and retire. But so you have those kids. But we were really, really lucky this past year. These kids understood that they just weren't blessed with that God-given athletic type of ability, but they liked to be around the events. They would go to the games. They would pay money for the games. You know, well, hey, you can get into the game for free. You can have the best seat in the house, mm-hmm. you know.
There you go, the lights again. David's I'm doing sorry. His dance. All right, so right about 54 minutes, I think, 54 minutes on the YouTube, you can watch him do his dance there. So, all right, go ahead.
They actually have on Fox Sports Southwest our ex-head football coach doing this dance in the locker room, and I was just shaking my head. I was like, that's going to go viral. It's not going to be good. But, you know, I try and tell them, you know, we're going to be playing at Cowboys Stadium, and, you know, where it costs $50 for you to take a tour, you're going to get to see the inner guts and for free, you know, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So, I mean, you have to sell yourself. I just need, usually I need somewhere between 4 or 5. And so far we, you know, some way, somehow, you know, my staff and I, we've been able to get that done, you know, because like I said, we're able to provide certain, girls can do everything the guys can do, I believe, on a college and professional level, but at the high school level, like I said, that gets a little different, you know. So trying to keep my job, I've got three little ones, so you know.
So Robbie McFarland is in the chat room. He said he had a chance to play sports in college, play football in college, but instead he chose to go with athletic training because there was a scholarship for athletic training where there wasn't a scholarship for football. And so, exactly. You know, that's one of the ways they got him there. And so, again, that doesn't help us here in a high school because I'm not going to offer him a scholarship that I wouldn't offer the girls. But it may be a recruiting tool saying, hey, I got a scholarship for athletic training. There is a better chance for you to do it as an athletic trainer than for as an athlete, which there probably is. I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure that there is. I don't know if there's going to be an accredited institution, you know, but I'll give you an example. I actually sent our YouTube link to Dustin Hill, who's the head athletic trainer over at North Texas High School. He emails me back within 15, 20 minutes, just telling me, you know, I'm sending you some brochures. I'm going to send you some dates that you can come up, help us with pregame so your kids can see what the colleges are doing as opposed to what the high school, you know, what we as a high school would do. And they're going to let us watch the game for free and give us a campus tour, you know. So, like I said, and I know that they don't have an accredited program anymore, but I know that they, like, you can do a work study. You know, at A&M's undergrad, you can do a work study. We actually have 2 kids up there right now that are doing athletic training as undergrads that are getting paid for it, you know, and that any money helps out when you're in college. So, and then they're going to start their master's program after they complete their kinesiology degree at A&M.
Gotcha. Yeah. See, that's the thing, just the creating the opportunities. And, you know, we speak a lot about the things here in Texas, and that's, you know, we have schools like you that have 4 or 5 athletic trainers. Here in Pasadena, we have 11 athletic trainers for 5 high schools.
Right.
You know, so we are maybe in an ideal situation. I mean, I'm in a really good situation, so I'm not sure how it works across the nation, but that's really cool. Just people saying, oh yeah, hey, come visit the college. You know, that, like with here with the podcast, I'm having professionals every single week. Like last week we talked to Sonia from the Steelers,
right.
Ron from Rice, and she's saying, you know, yeah, just let me know when you want to come up, you know, or I'll come over and talk anytime, that kind of thing. And just creating the opportunities for the students, you know, and whether or not they take them, that's all on them. But
right. I actually wanted to send my strength and conditioning magazine up to her so she could sign for me. That was just an awesome deal that you were able to get her on. I told in the email, I told Dustin that I just wanted the kids to be able to see that you don't have to be an athlete to get recruited. You know, if you take care of your business, and I preach this and preach it and preach it and preach it, if you take care of your business now, somebody will take care of you later if you show the want to, for whatever skill set that you have, you know. But you have to get serious about what it is that you want to do, and you need to try and realize what you want to do. The earlier, the better, you know. And so that's something that I preach all the time, but, you know, that kind of falls on deaf ears, because it's like, well, here goes Doc Young on that soapbox again, mm-hmm. you know, because I'm going to tell you a funny story. We're on a block schedule where each one of our class periods is an hour and a half. Well, one of our freshmen or sophomores, I can't even remember, comes in, Doc Young, I passed my star test and I got state recognition. And I was like, that's awesome. You know, I said, that's awesome. I was like, you plan on going to college? And she said, yeah. And I was like, where do you plan on going? And she said, Baylor. And I was like, have you gotten an application from Baylor yet? She's like, no. And I was like, well, you get an application. Oh, actually, you know what? We're going to go online and we're going to look at the Baylor undergrad application. And you tell me if you can find anywhere where they say what your star grade was for English or math or whatever. Now, I was like, I know that this is important and everything, but if you're trying to get to the next level, that test is testing for the minimum. Baylor's not looking for minimum people. They are looking for the very best of the best, you know? So with these schools showing interest in them, I think that that also kind of nails home without me having to get on my soapbox about school districts getting money and you need to get your money and stop worrying about trying to get a free pass to Six Flags for getting state recognition for your star exam and start worrying about trying to get these A's and B's and get some scholarship money for yourself once you decide, you know, what college or university that you're going to go to. But when they see those brochures, because I was able to stick just a North Texas athletic training brochure in each and every one of their lockers in the training room, and they pulled it out and they were just looking at the pictures. And I put Dustin's email up on our board to where all the kids could see. And they're like, well, Doc Young, when are we, what game are we going to go to? When are we going to see the campus? You know, it gives them another avenue, I believe, and just opens their eyes a little bit more to there's more out there, especially with our profession. There's more out there than just filling up, you know, cleaning and, yeah. and taping, you know. So really, really excited about that, you know. And any school that's watching right now, if you want to send anything to us, we'll put it up. And camp wise, we actually have two kids going to the UT camp this summer, and one right now is signed up to go, I believe, to SMU, but I don't know how much athletic training is involved with that.
Yeah, the field trip that we're going on, we're taking kids to visit Texas Lutheran and Texas State, you know, and it's just one of those things, like you said, getting them out, getting them visiting the college, and then they're like, oh yeah, hey, I do need to do something to prepare. So
right.
All right, so one of the things you were talking about before was that you're interested in the point schedule because you were kind of just going to switch your kids to more of a points type system. You know, they get points for working and not working and things like that, right?
Right, right.
All right, so how we did that is okay. We took kind of what Chris Shattuck had done and, you know, just made it our own, and that was that if a kid worked what they were supposed to, then they got 0 points because that they just did the minimum. If they did extra, so they came in on a day that they were off, they worked a game that they weren't assigned, they came in during a holiday, especially, you know, a holiday that where they weren't assigned or something like that, then they would get a plus one. Or, you know, if we wanted to do plus two, I don't know if we ever did that. So then if a kid didn't do what they were assigned, then they got a minus one. And so then we just use some fancy formulas in Excel to kind of add all those up and kind of keep track. So we can keep track of the whole year because we started it at about this time last year. We started doing that and talking about it and figuring out how we were going to do it. And then this year we did that the whole year. And so for our field trip that we're going on, it was kids that one didn't fail. So they were eligible the whole year. And also the ones that were points leaders, or they were positive in points. So if you were negative in points, you're doing less than the minimum. So you weren't going to take you on extra things. And so I think it really works out well because it's more subjective, and it also gives the kids something that they know, like, we are keeping track, we are looking at this thing. And you kind of got to find out what works for you. We're using Google Docs so that I can do it on my phone. You know, both Bill and I can use the same form. And again, I think I like using that system a lot, and I'm not saying it's perfect, but I'm saying it works for us for free until somebody gives me something better.
Right. Right. Right now, we just, I, I kind of was sitting. I worked a tournament outside of DeSoto. It was kind of a contract type deal, and was racking my brain trying to figure out. Because I got tired of the kids that were overachieving, getting frustrated about getting the same thing as the kids that really were, they weren't underachieving, but they really weren't helping out to raise the standard, to raise the bar. You know, that's what we're always talking about. Not just having something covered, but the standard in which you cover that event is one of my biggest pet peeves, you know? And so, what I came up with was a written exam kind of covering everything that we've gone over for sports medicine one. Now we've got some kids that are in sports medicine three, so they should just breeze through this, you know? But then I said, well, that's not really fair to my upperclassmen, and I want to make it to where, you know, it's apples to apples. So we started, I printed off a review sheet of everything that was going to be possibly on this test. Now it was only going to be a 30 question test, but I gave them like 100 and whatever questions. So they were the under, what wound up happening is the underclassmen had to go and ask the upperclassmen, hey, what is this? What's going on? Blah, blah, blah. How do you do this? So they were able to network and talk more. Then we also are going to have a practical side to where you're going to have to tape an ankle, but it's going to have to be functional, and it's going to have to be in under 3 minutes. You know, we're going to have to do a modified ankle tape job, because I want to get to the point. I'm really close now, but I want to get to the point where a kid is able to see somebody get hurt, come in the training room every day, be with that athlete, and then I sign off on their coach's note, but they're right there, you know, when I sign off, to walk them down and say, hey, coach, they're ready to go back into the game. They're the ones that are taping them before that, you know, to see that whole process.
Yes.
So, you know, I have a modified ankle tape job where we're using Elasticon. I have a arch, thumb, a wrist, and then CPR and first aid. And so then we have kind of a checkoff deal, because I was one of the, I think I was the first class at UTA under that accredited program. So we were kind of like the guinea pig. So I still have my checkoff sheets from college. And so that's what I did. I just kind of went off of what they were looking for. And so we'll have a 0 if you did it, or 1, 2, or 3, depending on how serious, you know, how serious is a figure eight in an ankle tape job. Well, that's a 3 for us. So, you know, and we'll circle that. And so each kid will have their folder, and, you know, the high, I haven't really decided what the cutoff is going to be. But we're going to have, like I was telling you earlier in the, I think before we went on, but we're going to have a JV as well as a varsity staff, you know? But I've already started to see where that could be a problem, because, you know, like I was telling you, I don't want the varsity staff to have a quote unquote complex about themselves to where I don't have to do this. I'm going to make this JV staff member do that. And I don't want it to have, I don't want it to become cliquish either. And I feel like doing that, that might happen. And I don't want that, you know? So are
you going to retest them like every 2 weeks so that, you know, those JV kids have the opportunity to move up? Or is it, you know, at the beginning, you know, before the first game, the week before the first game, we're going to test everybody. And if you're one of the top, like I think you said 18 earlier, if you're one of the top 18 in all of these categories, then you're going to be working varsity the whole season? Or how do you see that working out?
Right now, they're going to take this test. They're going to take the practical aspect of it. And I'm going to have to see. Right now, it's kind of, these are the people that are going to be on varsity. These are the people that are going to be on JV, you know, because really we're to the point now where, you know, if this isn't for you, you know, then you probably need to move aside. And I don't want to be that way, but I also don't want the kids that are going above and beyond to get frustrated because these other kids are doing the bare minimum and they're getting the exact same thing. So it's kind of a catch 22. And really and truly, I think I'm gonna see how it goes once I put that list up, what it's gonna look like. And then kind of go over it with my staff and see, you know, during the summer, are we gonna just push going straight JV and varsity, or are we going to try and figure out something else? You know, I think what they were doing at Dawson, where they had the varsity staff vote on a freshman and a JV member to come and participate, you know, because that's one of our recruiting deals, especially for the boys. Hey, you're going to be able to work on Friday night, you know, mm-hmm. and really can't do that now because the freshmen are going to work, you know, freshman and JV events. And then if you're going above and beyond, you know, I think I was going to have the varsity staff vote on, you know, particular kids, and I was going to make up that list so it wouldn't be the same kid every single time getting voted to work on Friday night. So I don't know right now. You know, I'd love to hear back from some people with what they, you know, I mean, was that too hard and it became too cliquish, you know, and so the barometer was kind of thrown off, you know. I'd love to hear back on that, see how it went throughout the year.
Yeah, I think it's just like most everything. I think I'm not sure if I talked to John Harmon when we were just hanging out, or if it was on one of the podcasts, because he was on and we talked about Things I Wish I Knew. But I can't remember, again, if it was just a conversation that we had or if it's a conversation we had on here. He said that he tried that, having the varsity and the JV staff, and like you said, it gave a God complex. But he said a good friend of his did the exact same thing, and it worked out great. So, you know, my pastor said on Sunday, you know, some of my friends go this way and some of my friends go the other way, and I'm going to stick with my friends. Well, yeah, there you go. Right. You know, you got to go with what works. Well, I don't think a varsity staff would work for me. Right. It's those people that work and they earn that. You know, what we do is, like you said, they have to be CPR certified before they ever can work practice. So right. Once they're CPR certified, they can work practice. If they're working practice, then they can learn to tape. Once they learn to tape the fingers, the wrist, the hand, the thumb, the ankle, then they can earn the polo. And if they don't have the polo, they can't work varsity games, except for, like you're saying, sometimes we'll take some of them that don't have the polo, and they'll just work the water table, where all they're doing is standing behind the table refilling water bottles the whole time. But it's a little incentive for them to go and to work hard and to continue to working on learning those skills. And so there's not necessarily everybody is eligible each week if they earn their, you know, earn their stripes kind of thing. And it's not just this whole year, you're the only ones working. But that's, again, just for us, you know, and we use, obviously, based off the point system. If they don't come to practice, then they don't go. And, you know, this year we had enough kids so that you only, I think, you had 1 or 2 days of practice a week. And so if you didn't come to that, you don't go to the game.
Right.
And so those kind of things. But I don't have a solid answer. And here goes the David Young dance again. All right.
Stop.
You need to get a timer or something. I don't know.
I do. I'm always moving, so I never realized how often that can go off right now. So I apologize.
That's good. We need to get some of those for the projectors, because I'll walk out sometimes after football or basketball, I'll watch film, and like an hour later, their projector is still sitting. I'm like,
it's still sitting there.
You guys are killing me.
One thing I've noticed is all of our students have really, really honed in on figuring out something they didn't know. If they found a question on the review that they didn't know, they were looking it up. They were talking to each other. They've been practicing taping just like they were practicing for NTATs. So I've seen them really, really try, because everybody wants that Friday night experience, you know. So that's a good thing. You know, they have really been coming in during their lunch period, you know. I see them networking with each other a lot more. They're always on their phones trying to Google something to figure, about some type of anatomy or what anything. So I've really seen that increase when it comes to trying to perfect their skill, so to speak. You know, these past 3 weeks since I announced that that's what we were going to do.
All right, so Robbie McFarland over at Klein High School writes in. Let's see, let me turn this up a little bit. All right, says, how advanced do we really want a high school student to be? Do we worry about burning a student out? Are we concerned that they will lose interest? Is it worth the time investment by us to take a SAT to a student athletic trainer to such a high level when they don't want to pursue sports medicine at the next level? So I'll go ahead and switch back mics. So then now if you're watching the video, you can see me. I'll respond to that. I would love for the kids to be able to do my job here at the high school, regardless of what they're going to do. So my thought is, why would I cut them off? Why would I say, I'm only going to teach you this much? Again, this is my thought. And if a kid really wants to learn, I'm going to really want to teach him, you know? So that kids will actually sometimes say, well, don't ask Jackson a question, because I'm not going to just say, yeah, here's the answer. I'm going to say, here, well, come here. Let me show you why. Let me show you this. Because what if I'm not there? Or so many times, you know, when I talk about the CPR, what if they're at home? What if they're at home, right, and the kid sprains the ankle, their mom sprains her ankle? Well, they can take a look. They can, you know, they're not certified. They're not, you know, diagnosing, but they are giving a better educated evaluation than just going to the ER, because going to the ER, they're going to take an x-ray. Okay, like you said, 2 weeks, and then you'll be all right. Well, no, you need to do this exercise. You need to do this rehab and that kind of thing. And so just in my opinion, it's as an athletic trainer in a high school, the investment, that's our job. That's what we should want to do. And those are the ones that make the difference. So what do you think, David?
Yeah, I think you're right on with that. My goal is to have them, if they want to pursue this as a profession, by the time that they graduate here at DeSoto, I want them on the level of a college sophomore who's never been an athletic trainer before. So, you know, I don't feel like they're going to get burnt out, because for us, we have enough kids to where we have two different staffs to where they work. They don't have to work daily, you know, and then in the spring, you know, they're just doing evening coverage of games. They're not staying, having to work, you know, that's only in the fall. So, right. I think that they have enough time to be able to have a life outside of the training room, you know, and I know that that's important. You know, they have their summers to do the driving school. And I have one kid that's a AAU basketball player, but can't make the team here. I don't know. But they have a life outside of student athletic training. Mm-hmm. However, their skill level, which I think is... you know, I believe that we're here to promote our profession and to teach a skill. And if you're going to sign up for our class, my sports medicine class, and be a part of this program, my program, then I'm going to give you the same knowledge and expect you to know the same thing as somebody who already knows, hey, this is what I'm going into. This is what I want to do when I'm, you know, become an adult. And after I graduate college. So, you know, if they want to be a part and they want to be a part of the football games and everything else, that's fine. But you're going to have to take that ankle the same way that somebody that's looking to go to a college or university is able to take that ankle. And that's what I'm really trying to work on, because we have some kids that they have their station set up. They want to take. They're telling people to come on in. We have other kids that are dreading the day that they are the only person there to tape somebody, and they've just really kind of just been skating by and moving around and getting out of the way. And I can't have that, you know, especially when I have 40 something kids in here next year. And, you know, pretty soon it'll go, well, 5 really don't know how to tape. Then all of a sudden you're going to look back and there's going to be 7 or 10 that really don't know how to tape. And so, you know, there's going to be a split right there obviously with a varsity and JV, you know, so to speak, anyway. So I'm just really trying to see, but I don't see, you know, high school kids getting burnt out from this if they're, you know, if you're giving them some time, you know.
Yeah. And like you said at the beginning, you are a student athletic trainer program guy. I know I talked to – it's honestly my favorite subject to talk about on the podcast is the student athletic trainer programs, because it's the part that I feel that I am called to most. And, you know, I definitely want to take care of the athletes and treat the injuries. And, you know, we just had a girl, she's like probably a scholarship athlete next year, a runner, and she pulled her hamstring 3 weeks before the district meet. If you don't run in district, you don't go to the next level. You don't go to the next, you know, you don't go to area. And so we worked real hard with her. And then, you know, she texts me, hey, you know, thanks for everything you did. You're the best. Well, that's really good. And I love that. And, you know, that was probably one of the first times I had somebody specifically do
say,
you know,
thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that. And so that was really awesome. But I think what I really want is that my student athletic trainers are solid, that my student athletic trainers succeed. You know, I want those athletes to be well, but again, I think my passion, the thing that I care about the most is my program, the program that I'm responsible for, because I'm not responsible for those athletes. I'm responsible for taking care of them when they get injured, that kind of thing. But these are the kids that I'm supposed to grow and build. And so I feel that I'm, you know, you and I are kind of in the same boat. So I don't think that there's anything too short, you know, like taking kids to surgery, taking kids to visit colleges. I feel my deal is to teach these students, and if they advance, then they advance. If they don't, then they don't. And that's okay. I'm okay with them choosing something different. If I help them, you know, if I got kids that want to be physical therapists, if I got kids that are just playing sports, and they want to know how to take care of themselves, then that's okay. I don't mind that at all. Right now, it looks like David is not going to be back in. All right, so Robbie, again, first let me say thanks for being in the chat room, Robbie. Thanks for being active. And again, I know you, and I know you are not in any way interested in shortchanging the students. I know your heart and your passion. So I wasn't saying that I think that you're doing a disservice to the students. I was just telling you my opinion. And so Robbie's just wanted to say our approach is to teaching the basic AT knowledge. We're willing to teach a student as much as they want to learn, but we can't force each one to learn the deeper stuff when they plan to do something other than athletic training. And says they always go the extra mile to take a student as far as they want to go. With our group size, which I think he's at 45 or 48 or something like that, we have to take a generalized approach. So, you know, then with the juniors and seniors that plan to go to the next level, they go a little bit more in depth. But, and I understand that our group is smaller, and I wouldn't say that our kids are at a college sophomore level by the time they graduate here. But again, just my response to that question is I don't want anybody I don't want to ever say, no, that's too advanced for you. So some people may just want to say, all right, well, this is the extent of what you need to know. But again, I am most interested in my student athletic trainer program and finding out ways for it to succeed. So, all right, so that was a phone call from David because his computer just shut down and is reconfiguring Windows. So there's nothing you can do except for maybe switch machines. So one of the things that I definitely want to talk about is all the details aren't final, but I have reached an agreement with School Health. So School Health is partnering with the Sports Medicine Broadcast to provide more value to our listeners. And there's more information going to be coming once more details are final. But I'm pretty excited because part of it is they're going to be giving things away to my listeners. So those people that, you know, are on the email list, or those people that are listening live, or those people that sign into a special form that we have, you're going to be able to earn or have a chance to win some prizes and rewards or whatever from School Health. And if you don't know what School Health is, they are a sports medicine supply program. And it's really cool because I met with Greg Evans. He's actually an athletic trainer. He was an athletic trainer at Wheaton College, and then he went to School Health. So he's an athletic trainer. He knows sports medicine. He knows what athletic trainers want. And it's not just somebody that sells in general to athletic trainers. So I'm pretty excited about that. And then the fact that I'm going to get to give you guys that listen in, that download that podcast, that listen live, and especially those ones that listen live and interact, a chance to win things. You know, those things are to be determined, but a chance to win some things just because they're partnering with us. So I'm pretty excited about that. More details will be coming soon, but again, I'm excited about that. And let me see. Today, one of the things that I think I learned is that different people do things differently, but I think one of the things, the quiz bowl is something that we could really kind of change the student athletic trainer climate in Texas. And, you know, if it's something that you're in Tennessee, you want to do, or something you're somewhere else you want to do. But I think for us, again, we could start that here and then let that trickle out. So I'm really interested in continuing the talk, the conversation about the quiz bowl at the local level, and then at SWATA, and then at the national level for high school students. And so hit me up with your thoughts on that. Thoughts, concerns, thoughts, ways that you can do that. Again, I am on Twitter at PHS Sports Med, or you can email me. The one for the podcast is info@sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. info@sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. So you can hit me up any of those ways. Let me know what you think there, or comment in the chat rooms, or jump in, you know, or request to be a guest, and we can hash out the details there on the podcast. So again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com is where you can find us almost every single Wednesday, and you can follow the conversation there. I really want to thank those people that are logged in, listening live, especially that's I think the most I've seen typed into a chat room in a while. So thanks for being active there. Again, PHS Sports Med on Twitter. That's where you're gonna find me the most. That's where I think it's because it's 140 characters and it's short. So for Jeremy, for David, that was over there, all my students in Sports Medicine 1, that's a wrap.